Good day. You're listening to European Buddha.
Good morning and welcome. It is a cloudy Sunday morning at the end of February. And here we are, three people talking about a new podcast called European Buddha. So I would say let's start by introducing ourselves. My name is Martin Landschein.
And I'm Emilia Raunio. Welcome and thanks for joining us today. We're quite excited because, as Martin mentioned, it's our first episode and recording today. Our first guest is Ron Eichhorn. He's the president of EBU. Ron was elected first time as a council member 2014 and then later as president 2017. Ron has practiced Buddhism for over two decades, and he's the head disciple of the Yunhua denomination of World Social Buddhism. And he also works as an abbot of its Berlin Dharma Center. Ron works as a film director, and when he's not working, he likes to cook with friends and play ukulele. So welcome, Ron. It's a really joy to have you here today with us. Welcome.
Thank you.
And how are you?
Thank you. I'm fine. Thank you for having me. It's very exciting and nice.
So I'd like to ask you, what is your greatest teacher in the everyday life? It could be like a, you know, Zen master, but it could be like anything, like a tree on your yard, or do you have this kind of masters and teachers?
Well, it's if you have your eyes open, I think the world is full of teachers. And of course, my master is a very inspiring, my most inspiring teacher is my master, Jikwang Dipop Sonim. But everything, like you say, you know, everything, all people, especially the people who make you upset, they are your teachers.
Exactly.
Because
the greatest teachers.
You to see that in yourself. What is it that makes me upset right now? Everybody is a teacher. And then there's, and in this sense, also there's a lot to learn all the time. You know, there's always, once in a while, there's a point where you think, I'm so smart, I'm good, I'm super, actually I don't need to learn much anymore. And then that's of course the point where you have to learn much more. So there's always something to learn, and that's also fun, you know. That's it's not like a boring kind of thing. It's fun. It's always
it's so funny because you fall off the saddle and then you just go back, and it happens, and it's as you said, that you feel like, oh, this is it, like, wow, now I know it, and then you fall off and it's just go back, you know.
Right.
Yeah, this is where the humor part comes in to accompany you on your journey. And I think that might be what the idea of this podcast could be about that everybody is a teacher, and we want to invite in this podcast different voices and show the diversity of Buddhism, but especially Buddhism in Europe. So I also want to ask Ron, what do you expect from this podcast?
I think what the European Buddhist Union can do is to be a very large gate for people to step on the Buddhist path, because we represent all, really pretty much all the Buddhist traditions that are existing in the West, and that's a quite big panorama, and different countries with different mentalities in those countries and different languages. So we are very, you know, big open gate. So for people who are interested in Buddhism or in Buddhist ideas or in the Dharma or in this method, which actually Buddhism is, the method to see the things clearly and see yourself clearly, that's a very good first step to come to us. And then, because everything is there, and then you can, from there, you can orient yourself and go into a more specific direction. So, and I think the podcast is one of these tools to make that apparent and visible.
What about you, Emilia? What do you expect from this podcast?
We talked about this earlier, and we were asking the question, like, what is European Buddhism? And then I just one day I just realized that I don't know. And that's where I got excited. I was like, wow, we're going to go and find out. And it's going to be it's going to be fun journey, this, to find out. And we don't have to decide where it ends. It's like ever changing, you know, as the way is. I'm very, very happy to hear the different stories and learn about different traditions and people. The idea is to get together and learn from each other.
For me, like what this term is saying to me, like European Buddhism is saying to me, like, all right, there is already a transition going on. The EBU has an upcoming conference by the end of April. Could you share some ideas about the conference in the end of April?
Yeah, so originally this was planned to be an in-person event, or I don't know, a live event, you know, with people coming actually, but that's not possible this year, at least not in spring. So we will do it online, and the topic is, doesn't sound like much fun in the beginning. It's about death and dying. And the reason is that, of course, that's happening to all of us. We don't want to know much about it most of the times, but it's happening, yes. And especially in these times with a pandemic, a lot of people have this experience that is close, either because friends passed away or parents or people dear to them. And in our Western society, what I see, just as a, you know, what I see when I talk to the people, is that it's like a taboo, death and dying. People don't want to deal with it. And then when it happens to people close to them, then it's a very big suffering, of course. But it's not. There's no way they find to deal with that, and with this loss. So of course, the Buddha is very helpful in this. On this topic. So there is a very, you know, bright Buddhist perspective on this somber topic, and we want to offer that. There are many specialists in among Buddhist teachers who are really dealing with that on a daily basis, because they are heads of Buddhist hospices, or they're just very experienced with this particular topic. And so we have those as speakers, and that will be happening on one day, on Saturday, April 24th.
And it will be online, I assume.
It will be online, that's right. And so everybody who has a device like a computer or a phone can participate. It will be on our homepage, yeah, europeanbuddhism.org. And we also have an extra page for the conference, which is ebuconference.org. And for our Facebook page also, of course, the European Buddhist Union has a Facebook page, and we will post it there also, of course.
We are very excited to ask you if you would like to share a practice, contemplation, meditation with us. That would be super nice.
Thank you. Yes. There's really actually a few little practical exercises I could share with you, but there's particularly one which I find very helpful, and I do this a lot. It's a breathing exercise that my master Jikwang Depo Sonim gave us a few months back, and I find it very helpful. It's a kind of simple meditation that you can do really any time of the day in pretty much any kind of position. So it's not necessary to go into a meditation pose or to be in a meditation room or something like this. You can do it anytime during your work or in any moment. I especially do this when I feel unbalanced because of something. So if I feel I'm too agitated or sleepy or something like this, I do this, and it brings back very quickly my awareness, and it brings me back to the point right here. And so it's simply done. It's a breathing exercise. You can do this for a few minutes. Good, it's 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And how you do it is you breathe in through the nose. So you breathe in through the nose while counting to four. You count to four. It doesn't mean 4 seconds. You just count. Count to four, and then you breathe out through the mouth. And again, you count to four when you breathe out through the mouth. And you're breathing through the mouth without making a sound. So it's not like a kind of stuff. You are very, very gently breathing in and out. And the master said it's like a silk thread when you breathe. So very, very gently. And you count to four, but like I say, it's not a time. So the four is your four. And we can do this together just for a few times. So you breathe in through the nose, count to four, and then gently you're breathing out through the mouth, also counting to four. For me, that's immediately meditation when I do this. All right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure to be here. Thanks.
Yeah, I will just record an outro now. Thank you, Ron. Thank you, Emilia. You can expect a lot of interesting guests coming up on European Buddha, as well as different exercises you might find useful and enjoy. We want to present to you episodes on a monthly basis, each last Friday of the month. This being said, let us see where this adventure is leading us. Let's find out what the universe of European Buddhism has to offer. Thanks for tuning in and speak to you soon. All right.
On this heißt, it now you call it European Buddha.
It would be the case if you don't change it.
No. No, I don't change it, but... I thought we call it European Buddhism, European Buddha. Think about it. I don't know when you said it, because maybe just I didn't expect it. Of course, no. But when you said it first, I thought, what? Because
never know what to expect.
No,
you know?
I just think about it. It's because a lot of people, when they hear Buddha, they think about a statue or a person. That's what people do, you know. That's because they don't think about something. They could think, well, the person they interview, is that the European Buddha now?
I would say it's quite a sympathetic name, and because like Thich Nhat Hanh talks about these part-time Buddhas, like mm-hmm. we all have it like inside of us. So I think it's kind of cool. Like today we have this Buddha here and I'm a Buddha and you're a Buddha. Like I think it's a fun name. Like it's very positive.
Yeah. And it stops you. It stops yes. you and you have to, huh? And then of course you have to take it with humor. Nobody yes. would assume that there is a European Buddha walking on this earth. But who knows?
It is. Like Emilia said, of course, in a sense, you know, everybody is it. So,
yeah.
And finally, I think really, in order for Buddhism to arrive in Europe, it has to happen that we have at least, you know, an enlightened European master here.
Yes.
Like it happened in any country where Buddhism went. It cannot be imported. It has to be finally grow, you know, in that country. Or in that region.
Yeah.
And also as a community, we can be the Buddha, you know, as a community, we can work.